Well, a couple of weeks ago, when last time I preached, our message was Family Matters. And I put the family in quotes in my title. That's just what I did. And it was really in relation to who we are, and that we need to operate in faith that we are doing the will of the Father, because Jesus said that those who do the will of the Father are those that are my brothers and sisters and family. And that's how we know we are a part of God's family, is that we have faith that we are doing the will of the Father. So this week, carrying on kind of on that theme, is worship matters. And again, the worship being in quotations if you were writing things down. And this is really about what we do. And so when you look at the word matters, we talked about it a few weeks ago, that it changes depending on how you look at that word. So worship matters could be, you know, that there's issues related to worship, most commonly referring to personal or private concerns involving what worship is. You know, some people like the old hymns of old. Some people like the new songs. Some people like them both. Some people like to get here and just get it over with. You know, it really comes down to what people want. But it's not just about the songs. There's so many different issues in regards to our lives and what worship is. But then it also is that worship matters means that worship is important. And it is. So the whole basis for our faith is worship. And so we want to discuss today the worship matters and what we do. So the question is, in that, with worship matters and what we do, is what do we do? Well, the simple answer is we worship God, right? So now, what does that mean? What does it mean that we worship God? What is worship? The dictionary version, the act of showing deep reverence, adoration, and honor toward God or things, because you can worship things. You can worship stuff. But we're focusing on the fact that it's deep reverence, adoration, and honor toward God. It's ascribing supreme value to God. And in some messages that I've heard about worship, they change that word to worth-ship, that God is worthy of what we do and say to him. And other people, they will look at worship as warship, that it's a battle, it's a war, it's a precursor to battling the enemy, stuff like that. So many aspects to worship. We've looked at it that it could be a preparation of the heart for the message that is to come. But those all deal really with not your everyday things. That's just possibly what we do on Sunday, or what we do just before we pray, or things to that effect. But the other dictionary version that I read that really hit home is true worship is a heartfelt response that influences daily life through obedience, service, and praise. Let me read that again. True worship is a heartfelt response that influences daily life through obedience, service, and praise. You know, we can look at Scripture. We go to John 4:24, where Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, at Jacob's well. And he says straight out, he says that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. And it's true. It's that we worship in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to take us on a little bit of what I'm going to call a purposeful rabbit trail. Okay, I'm actually planning a rabbit trail this time. That doesn't mean we're not going to have others. It doesn't mean that we're going to stay on this rabbit trail and maybe go on another one. Who knows? But this is the purposeful one. In John 16, verse 13, it says, "But then when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." It's the Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. Now, that just, it actually almost goes without saying, because if it's the Spirit of truth, you'd think that any time that he guides, that it will be guiding in all truth, right? And so we want to look at this truth thing. The Spirit of truth will guide you in all truth. Now then, in John 6:63, these verses that I'm going through here, and there's a few of them, are all in John. But in John 6, verse 63, oh, John 6 is long. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life." Now, it says at the beginning there, it is the Spirit who gives life. Well, what spirit is that? It's the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth gives life. And Jesus' words are spirit and life. And just a few verses later, Peter, Jesus has just said to the crowd, because there were disciples who withdrew and decided, we can't walk with Jesus anymore because his sayings are too hard. And Jesus looks at his disciples, he looks to the 12, and he says, "Do you want to go away as well?" But then the next verse, Simon Peter answers him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." Now Jesus just finished saying, he says, "My words are truth and they are life." And Peter expounds on that and says, "They are eternal life." Well, then this got me thinking, well, what's eternal life? Well, in John 17:3, Jesus answers. He says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So eternal life is the knowledge of the Father and of Jesus Christ. And I would look at that and I would say eternal life then is truth. Because knowing the Father and knowing Jesus is truth. And in John chapter 1, I know I'm doing a lot of rabbit trailing here, but in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory of as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is full of grace and truth. So now, I wanted to have the whiteboard up for just this moment, but it just seemed like it was a little bit, well, first of all, awkward because I'm in a different position. Secondly, it's just for this part of it. But so picture it with me. You write down the words, "Jesus is full of grace and truth." And you say, "His words are life and truth. And we worship him in spirit and truth." So, spirit equals truth. Life equals truth. Grace equals truth. When you look at it, it all comes down to truth. And it's really pretty what I was going to draw. See how nice that is? So here's the thing. If it all comes down to truth, how important is it that anyone preaches or teaches that which is true? I would say it's of the utmost importance that it's true. So how do we judge this? Well, Pastor Corey, you can't judge. Well, if it's of utmost importance that what is preached from this place here in any church is truth, then you better be able to judge what is true. Otherwise, you ain't getting the truth, which means you ain't getting life. You ain't getting grace. You ain't getting spirit. It's hard. But how do you judge that? Well, it's actually simple and difficult. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 12. The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these, that's the people of Berea, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. How important is truth to you? How important is it that what I'm speaking week to week, or what Terrell is speaking, or whoever else we have up here, how important to you is it that it is true? Because if it's really important to you, the utmost importance, then you will be examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. That's tough. Because I know in my own life even, it's busy. And I'm a preacher. This is what I do for a living. But what I would honestly and truly suggest is that on any given Sunday, from any different church, from any time that you hear something that is a message like this, or of any type, take those things and study it during the week. I love that there are devotionals. But do those devotionals take you away from finding out what is true? I'm not saying they're not true. Please don't take that away from it. I'm not saying that. But what is going into your heart week to week, should you take that time of devotion and study the scriptures to make sure that I am saying the right things? Because that would help you, but it would also help me. Because in all honesty, who is out there checking? Who is out there checking? Terrell and I, we discuss it. But is that it? And I know you might be thinking, well, Pastor Corey, you know the Bible so well. I don't know the Bible so perfectly. I might know scriptures. I do know where the basis for my beliefs are, but my beliefs, as has been proven in the past, can be challenged. And sometimes I will change. Because those things are, it's important. It is what you just said it yourselves, that it's utmost importance that truth is spoken from up here. The question is, where do we get our truth? Is it just based in the past? This is what I heard a long time ago. Well, you know what? That was me at one time. And then I was challenged by God through people to look at what I was actually speaking, what my belief system was. And I studied it. And some of those belief systems have changed. I've told you that story before. But are we willing to challenge ourselves to that extent that we might change our belief systems, no matter how ingrained and rooted they are? Are you willing for that? It's very important what is preached and what is taught is true. And if it is that important that the preaching or teaching is true to the Bible, how important is it for the songs that we sing to be true? Have you ever thought about that? Or do you just come and sing just because that's what the worship leader picked? Or do you go through the words while you're singing or while it's being sung and you decide, can I sing this? Is this what I determine is true? And how do you determine that? Do we trust songs just because they are popular? Because there's a lot of popular worship songs out there. In fact, I've been told, I haven't done the studies myself, but I have been told that worship music is the largest selling music in the world today. Praise God, but does that mean that every song of that's out there is true? And whose truth? That's the other thing. You look at, Terrell talked about it a few weeks ago, on the how many denominations there are in Christianity. Thousands upon thousands. But in what we would call the false religions, there's only one or two. So if Christianity has that many different belief systems, how do you know which one is true? How do we know that? Do we base our trust on songs just because they're traditional? You know, a lot of the old hymns, they have great biblical doctrine in them. But I have found some, not all, but some, that are not doctrinally based. They're actually against what the Bible teaches. Do you know that? Or do you just sing it because it's the song that's being sung right now? Oh, I love that song. I want to sing it. I'm not saying you can't sing songs, but if you're going to base it on worship, worship needs to be based on truth. I listen to secular music, and I sing along the words. When I watch a hockey game, I can tell you the majority of the songs that are played, I can sing along with, and I do sometimes. But I don't use that as worship, just because I like the song. Same thing with some of these songs that I'm talking about that I've taken out of my worship repertoire. I still will sing them because I like the tune. You know, I've told you about my feelings about Mansion Over the Hilltop. I still sing it. But I won't put it into a worship set. That's just one choice. There's a bunch of them. And there's some that when you look at it in Scripture, it's Scripture-based. But you don't necessarily want to be... There's one song for sure that we used to sing a lot back in the mid-80s. And it's based on Scripture. It's actually quotes Scripture all the way through it. But what it's actually doing, if you read the context of the story, is calling God's judgment on me. Oh God, come and destroy me, because great is your army that carries out your word to destroy me. Now you might know what song that is, those of you who are from that age. But that's what it's calling for. There's another one I find it funny. It's His Banner Over Me Is Love. So His Banner Over Me Is Love is a fun song. Do you know where it comes from? Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1, I believe it is. And it's calling your lover into the marriage bed. That's what the Scripture is. Are you careful about what songs you sing in church? In a worship set? In your time of worship? Because it's important if you want your worship based in truth. So then, what do we do with that? What do we do with all this? If we find songs that aren't true, what do we do? I would suggest that we possibly throw them out or modify them. We have modified a few songs here in church, just so that they are more biblical. But what if we find teachers or preachers that aren't true? What do we do? I wouldn't recommend throwing them out. Not out of the door, at least. But maybe we need to be rethinking. But I'm not saying you throw everything out. It's not that there's a wrong word said or something and you throw the baby with the bathwater. Every single church you go to, you can find truth. Even the ones that you don't think you'd be able to find truth in. Especially if you go in there expecting to hear truth. God will speak to you at any place you go where you're wanting to hear him. When Balaam was walking with his donkey, he wasn't expecting to hear from God, but God spoke to him. How? Through the donkey. And if God can do that, then he can speak to you when you go to a church that doesn't have necessarily the same beliefs that you have or the same rituals that you have. So you can find those things. So you don't want to, just because you hear something wrong, you don't take that whole thing and throw it out. Pick out the gems. Because even when you're mining for gems, you're going to find dirt and you're going to have to throw some of it out. So I'm not saying you throw everything out, just like the songs. You know what? It might be a great song, but there might be a line in it that just is a little bit off. So then change the line. The biggest issue is like the song Breathe that we just sang. The daily bread. The very word of God is life. That's where we find the truth, in here. You don't look for truth, or you don't look for the full truth by listening to Pastor Corey. Pastor Corey will guide you to the word, where you will find the truth. Pastor Corey will say things wrong sometimes. And he might even have his belief system just a little askew that needs adjusting. And that is why I spend a lot of time in the Word. I don't spend my time in the Word just so that I can preach on a Sunday. I spend my time in the Word so that the Lord can work through me and change me to his belief system, not mine. We honestly can't base truth on our beliefs. Our beliefs need to be based on truth. Because what if our beliefs aren't true? Did you know that your beliefs can hide you from the truth? Did you know that? Look at Paul. Look at the persecutors of the church. Jesus said straight out, there will come a day when people will persecute you and they will kill you and they will beat you and they will think they are doing the will of God because their beliefs had hid them from the truth. That's what happened with Paul. He was persecuting the church thinking he was in the will of God. And then the bright light on the road to Damascus came along and Jesus said to him, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And Paul had an epiphany, and he changed his belief system. One thing that I have tried for quite a while, and I still fail once in a while, and that is that I try to get out of my vocabulary the words I believe and start to say, the scriptures say. Because then I'm not just basing it on my beliefs. I'm basing it on what the scripture says. I would encourage you to try the same thing. Starting to say the scripture says rather than I believe. So then, at the beginning we defined worship with this phrase, that true worship is a heartfelt response that influences daily life through obedience, service, and praise. So if that's what worship is, then our entire lives should reflect truth. In all reality, everything you say should be true. Now, I would assume that the majority of you will say, well, that goes without saying. Well, how many of you have ever used the phrase just kidding? That means that you've just spoken something that's not true. I've used the phrase myself quite often. But the Bible says that when you use the word phrase, this is in the book of Proverbs, says when you use the phrase just kidding, it's like taking a firebrand to the back of your neighbor. Ouch! Especially to us who love to joke around. But that's what it says. It's telling you that the truth matters. Truth matters. So I have a few verses that I'd like to go through that are used a lot in regard to worship. And when we look at these verses, look at it from the angle of truth that we have been talking about. So Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Now, that's what the majority of translations say, is that last phrase, giving thanks to his name. The English Standard Version, and possibly others as well, say that acknowledge his name. Now, the word that is translated acknowledge or giving thanks is actually the same word that is translated confess. And that is homologeo, which is basically saying, say the same thing. It's the same words. And so it's the same word used for confess. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And so that confess, that's the homologeo. And for some reason, the translators decided that in this spot, in this place in Hebrews, says the fruit of lips that homologeo his name, that confess his name, that acknowledge his name. So then the thought that came to me is, what actually is confession? You know, in Christian circles, most often we look at that as going and saying, I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry, Lord. Sorry that I did this. And that's our confession. I want to read to you from a book called Living Fearlessly. And I have it right here. The title, Confession Doesn't Mean Saying You're Sorry. The author says, I was a police officer for several years back in the 1980s. When I arrested somebody, I would bring them in and ask for a confession. I didn't ask them for an apology. We in the church teach confession as though it were just saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. If a police officer hands you a pen and paper and says, write the truth about what happened, and you write, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, it resolves nothing. We grew up thinking confession was just telling everyone and God that we're sorry about stuff, but I'm sorry doesn't lead to transformation. Confession is telling God the truth about what you really believe about him, yourself, and others. It's the greatest act, a sacrament. God loves honest confession. Confession is the beginning of genuine transformation. If you don't tell God your truth, how can he enlighten your reality with his truth? If I say to God, I think you let me down every day, and I'm afraid to take a new job because I'm afraid you won't show up, he will always work with that. Always. Because it's the truth in your heart. He will respond to truth. Jesus says, for if you embrace the truth, it will release true freedom into your life. Truth always sets you free. Hiding the truth always makes you a slave. If you will not tell the truth, you're in bondage to the lie, the deception, and the rationalization. Don't apologize for your perceived reality. Tell the truth about it. That's confession. Confession doesn't mean saying you're sorry. It means telling the truth. Like he said, when someone is arrested, the police are not looking for an apology. They're looking for the truth. They want a confession. So when you confess to God, tell the truth. You can tell him what you did, but then even more importantly, tell him what he did. What did he do? He died for it. He was rose again for it. The Bible says that the cross, the crucifixion, was for our salvation, but the resurrection was for our justification. So if you look at the cross as being the place where, okay, God, I was really, really bad at this. Okay, good. But then turn it around like Terrell said today. Remember the justification part as well. He was raised for our justification. So then believe in both the cross and the empty tomb. Confess it to him. Say, Lord, I thank you for what you did. I'm sorry for what I did, and this is what I did. But God, I thank you so much that you have justified me by the resurrection from the dead. Telling the truth. It'll set you free. It all comes down to truth. So then also in regards to worship, we look at Hebrews 10:25, and we'll definitely be looking at this one a lot next week. And it says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. We come together so that we can encourage one another. How do we encourage one another? In truth. Praising God for who he is and what he did. What about Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7? These are all things that we do when we come together. That's not the right spot. That's Ephesians. Philippians. Let's go there. That's not it either. Well, yeah, that is. That's where I was looking. I was looking at 16 and 17. Ha! My eyes. Gotta tell you. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I was correct in saying it. I just can't find it. Be anxious for nothing. Boy, do I need to preach that message to myself right now. Help me continue, Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer needs to be based in truth. I was talking about this with Jen the other day. You know, more often than not, people in the church will pray and they will say the words, Lord, if it be your will. And then basically leave off and allow whatever happens to happen. The problem with that is that then we can blame God when something goes awry. Also, the problem with that is sometimes we get into this haughty spirit of when it comes true that, look what I did. But God allows us to affect our world. And if he allows us to affect our world, then when we just say, Lord, let your will be done and leave it, then it won't be his will that's done. It will just be what it is. Because what is God wanting us? How do we prove that we are his family? We do his will. So then don't pray, Lord, let your will be done. Pray, Lord, let me do your will. Two complete different phrases. So when it comes time for prayer, pray in truth. Where do we find the truth? In the Word. And you base your faith on the Word. His faith, your faith should be, he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I hesitate to say this next thing, not because it's bad, but because my wife hates it when I steal her thunder. She's downstairs. She'll just listen to this later. A poignant line from David is a good encouragement to us all. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. To know God's name is to know the faithfulness of his character and the endless depths of his love. Those who know that fact will put their trust in him. If you're having a difficult time trusting God in the circumstances you face today, it's only because you need to know him better, and he wants nothing more. Just prior to that, so I should have started on this one, but just bear with me. As we grow in the vineyard, we can trust God as our provider. Regardless of the circumstances, he is able to change them as he is to change us through them. The choice is his, not ours. Our response should not be, if God loved me, this wouldn't be happening, but rather, because he loves me even in this, what does he want from me? Basically saying, Lord, let me do your will. What is your will in this situation for me to be doing right now? That's prayer. Yes, tell him what you need. Tell him what you want. That's just being truthful with him. But then allow him to allow you to do his will. So then also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your hearts to God. Really, it's saying, teach the word of God. Admonish one another. Now, that word admonish, sometimes people don't understand what that means. It really, you could look at it as a gentle course correction. Gently nudging someone, saying, let's go this way. But doing that through the word of God, through the truth. And then, of course, it talks about singing. And all of that should be done with truth. Then another aspect, or another verse that's based on worship, is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, saying, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. The subject to one another in the fear, that's fear is reverence or worship, which is really truth. And so be subject to one another in the truth of Christ. And this is where I say that if you are studying the Word and you see that somebody up here has spoken wrong, then go to them, admonish them, gently give them a course correction, but use the Word to do so. Don't just say, I think you're wrong. Just bring it. Because the Word is what does it. And if we do that properly in the fear of Christ, in the reverence and awe of Him, or the worship of Him, and we do it in truth, then it's all good. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, and we have already read a portion of this, verses 15 to 16. Through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name, give thanks to His name, confess His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Truth-based good works and sharing. So this week we've looked at worship matters, what we do. Now, worship matters because it's supposed to be truth-based. It needs to be truth-based. And also, all the matters or the individual facets of worship, the matters of worship, like singing, preaching, teaching, encouragement, good works, etc., they need to be truth-based as well. Where do we find the truth? Well, not in our belief system. Not in our past, whether that's reading sermons or songs, etc. We find the truth in the Word of God. Now, all of those things that I mentioned, they can have the reading of the Word of God, because I do encourage that you listen, you read, especially the Word of God. But study it to make sure that what we're saying up here is true, because all that matters and all it comes down to is truth. Father, allow your Spirit of truth to guide us right now in all truth. Help us, Lord, to know your truth. Help us to know what you are wanting us to do in our lives. Help us to know how we are to act, how we are to speak, how we are to do these things. Lord, guide us in how we worship you. Guide us in how we study your word. Guide us in everything. Guide us in all your truth. So, Father, I pray that the words that have been spoken today, not the ones that Corey spoke, but the ones that you spoke through him, allow them to seep into our hearts and to plant seeds, seeds of truth. And help us, Lord, to know you better and to know your Son better and thus have eternal life. Thank you, Father. Bless us now as we go to fellowship one with one another. Help our words ring true, and help that food be a nourishment to our bodies so that we can continue in our will, in your will in our lives. Amen and amen. God bless you so much, and don't hurt each other as you race down to get some food. God bless you.